Thank you for being here. Got a nice crowd assembled. After that lesson this morning, how could you not come? So Steve did a great job with that. I can sing, turn it on, right? Here we go. On, off, on. There we go. Hey, what we're talking about doing this afternoon, a little bit, the agenda, kind of. We're going to review the current classes we have set up and kind of run through that. We have some new people that are here that have not been through the, don't know the curriculum and the three-year cycle and how it all ties together. So we'll kind of run through that. Steve will talk a little bit about some of the technology things we got, the use of PowerPoint and the projectors and some software that's available now that he'll tell you about. And then Bill's going to talk a little bit about some of the resources we got in the copy room, the resource room, the things there. And then Tim's going to talk about a little about the teachers and the availability of teachers and the lack of availability of teachers and whatever. And Jim Collins wrote a book. Some of you may have read it. The book's entitled Good to Great, where he took over 1,400 companies and studied those companies over a period of 40 years. And he picked out 11 of them that he concentrated on that went from good to great. And he goes through the characteristics of those companies and what made them great companies. This quote, back up, let me do it. This quote came from him. This quote says, "Greatness is not a function of circumstance. Greatness is largely a matter of conscious choice and discipline." Conscious choice. We've had people move into Eastside and attend here because they want their children in our class program. We've had people tell us that you have a outstanding class program here for the young people. I believe that. I do think it is. If it's classified now as good, how do we get it to great? Well, we do it through a conscious choice. The things we do to we decide to make it better. Things tough. Steve talked about this morning, the things you do in the classroom, and things like this. So a conscious choice and discipline will get us from a good program to a great program. So how we do that? Well, Steve mentioned this specifically this morning. My clicker's not clicking. Oh, I'm on the wrong slide. I'm on the wrong computer for that. Okay, I'm sorry. Click. Okay, yep. We swap computers back there. The other guy's got something on the other one. All right. What makes our classes from good to great is the material we have. And Steve's, this morning, I'm going to mention a sermon two or three times, I guess. Specifically, mention we teach the Scripture. We teach the Bible. We teach what's there. And that's what we're using. And not that we're using workbooks is wrong for that, because we do tie a lot of our stuff to Bob and Sandra's books. But we really concentrate on the Scripture there that we use for that. We have some dedicated teachers. We have some teachers who really care about the students they're working with. They're not in there just to, it must be my turn again. I'll fill into this class here. Or Saturday night, last minute, I'll throw my lesson together because it won't matter tomorrow anyhow. I think we have some teachers who really, really care about what they're doing. I think we have a well-defined program. And we're going to kind of talk about that a little bit here in a few minutes. It's a purpose, a driven purpose to it, the cycle we go through. And the way we do it, there's a structure. I mean, it's very structured, so we get through the three-year cycle each time, and yet it's adaptive. And we've made some changes to it as we go along to meet certain circumstances. And I'll talk about that when we get into it there. And then there are the students. And they certainly have a part in this. We have some really great students in some of the classes I've been in. I do most of my teaching in the foundations class and the high school class. We got some students there that I wish would put more into it and be more attentive and whatever. But at the same time, I believe we have some that are really, really, really have spiritual things on their minds. So these things, I think, contribute to our program. So look at our classes a little bit then. Again, we do have some that have not been, that don't know, not familiar with the three-year cycles. We're going to talk about the whole thing a little bit. But here are the children, here are the classes we offer. I'm talking about the children's classes. I'm talking about the high school down, all the way from where they start. The babies come up to those classes there. College class, we did college class last summer. There's one planned again starting next quarter. We'll have more of the kids here from college at home. So there will be a college class then. Foundations class, mainly for the teachers who are teaching the next quarter, because it's one quarter ahead of everybody else. With a lot of teachers who don't go in there now because they've already been through the material several times, and don't feel a need to it, rather be somewhere else, that's fine. I like to go in there a lot of times for a refresher on my stuff there. But we have others in there who have not been through the narrative. So they're in there just to, as adults, just as a class to study the narrative, because all they haven't been through it. And that's fine, too. That's what it's good for. Then the three other classes, of course, the ladies' class, and then the auditorium class, and then what's generally called the mixed adults class. They refer to as the mature folks class, or a few other terms like that, but I won't go into that anymore. So those are the basic classes that are back there. All right, talking about the children's classes. Children's classes basically work through a three-year cycle that covers the Old Testament and the New Testament narrative. And by that, looking at what the story, if you will, of the Bible as it goes through from beginning to end. Eight quarters in the Old Testament, four quarters in the New Testament. And that seems right now kind of gets so mundane to us. We've been through it so many times. Now, our children are learning it from the little bitty kids on up and go through that thing. The first year we did the summer classes here, which would be, I guess, this is our fifth year, I think it is. One of the sessions that we did there, I did my little 45-minute review of the entire Bible timeline there that I've done in a lot of the classes here. We went through the whole thing in 45 minutes. And I had students come up to me after that and said, that's the first time I've ever seen the Bible story given from beginning to end. And see how it all ties together. So we've gotten so used to it because we've been through it so many times here. You don't know how many out there don't know that and don't have that picture in their mind of how it all weaves together as one continuous story there. Then there are variations. The youngest classes, the little bitty ones, they don't do the three-year cycle like that because you have to get down there to their level. And I don't teach those classes. I couldn't do it. But those of you who do, I'm sure glad you do. Work those little bitty ones down there. And then the high school class, we've done some variations in that. Back 3 quarters ago, we squashed some things together and put 6 months of the epistles in there for the high school class. And then even starting in last quarter, and we start back through Genesis, we're spending a lot more time in there about how these lessons, even the Old Testament lessons, how they apply to us and what they mean for us. So if you're teaching the high school class or scheduled or you're going to be in there, we're trying to get at least probably 40% of your time in there talking about what you can gain from that particular lesson you have assigned that will apply to us today. Because the high school students have been through the narrative several times, and if they've applied themselves, they should know the cycle. They should know the narrative already. So let's get more into the how it lives for us there. So that's the application of today's law. We do that in every class we've got, from the little smallest all the way up, because it's not just a story. It's a story that means something to me. So we as teachers have got to remember that and teach that what it means to be in there. So, material to cover. If you're teaching in any classes, and some of them we have older classes will run 2 quarters back-to-back on the same subject. Romans might be 2 quarters, 6 months. But most of the classes, you have a fixed amount of material to cover. Particularly if you're teaching the high school down classes, because you've got a quarter to cover. This book generally stays back in the copy room. This book lists what should be covered in each quarter. And I'll show you that on screen here in a minute. But it's a very fixed thing, James. So you've got to stay on schedule. I mean, you've got to, if you're teaching Genesis, you've got to cover Genesis. And you don't need to cover Genesis as part of Exodus. You don't need to cover the first 30 chapters of Genesis and not all 50 chapters. So it's a very fixed thing, and you must stay on schedule to get that done through that. It again, please. Different approaches. How you teach that material is up to you. I mean, you've got material to cover, and you've got a schedule to get it done on, but your approach and my approach will be different. That's fine. There's no fixed thing to do it. You may do more question answer. I may do more lecture type thing. I may have a handout. You may not have a handout. How you approach that's up to you. But the material's there to cover, and you need to make sure the students are learning what you're trying to present there. We have two teachers in the classes. How you arrange that is up to you. I've seen classes where one taught Sunday morning, one taught Wednesday night for the whole quarter. That's fine. I've seen it where some taught the first half, 6 weeks, the other taught the next 6 weeks. I wouldn't like that, but some folks do that. That's fine. Most of the time when I'm doing somebody, you may teach three lessons, and me teach two, and you teach one, and me teach four, or whatever. According to which class you've got. And I would really like to teach that material, and you might like to teach this material. So we work it out together. So how you and your teacher work it out, that's fine. It doesn't matter. You've got material to cover. Just get it covered. Okay? All right. The general outlines are available. Like I said, they're in this book, but they're also on the website. So if you want to go to Eastside's website, eastside-church.org, then all the material that we do in the children's classes is outlined there under the members-only section. Get it there, James. You go to the members-only section and click on class material, you'll get a page like this. I'm not going to try to go through all this, but it's just a general comments about our class program and what we're trying to accomplish. Hit it again. Then if you go, there's every quarter listed out. So you got the 12 quarters. Quarter one, we're going to cover Genesis. And these are based, the schedule is based on Bob and Sandra's books. As you all know, we work off of those books. So the book in the beginning is what you're going to cover there. Next quarter is Exodus, the wilderness wanderings. So you go through those. And then right on through the rest of them there. Judges, the Gives the King, this is a logical flow through there. So if you've got, if you're teaching, and that'll be the fourth quarter you're teaching, and you're going to teach the first part of the Gives the King, David's confession through Bathsheba. Hit it again. Now, if you click on any one of those quarters, there's a lesson outline out there, not a lesson, a core outline out there for that quarter. It says, okay, if I'm teaching the book of Genesis, and I've only got 12 on the screen, but all 22 classes are listed out there. Now, you don't have to use this. You can do it again. You've got to cover Genesis. How you approach it, how you break it up, it's up to you. But this is the outline here. If you want to go by this, that's fine. I think the pages here are in the original Bob and Sandra books and not the latest versions. But this is an outline that folks have asked for back when we first started doing this. They're still available. So if you're going to cover Genesis, you're going to do this, 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 and you're going to wind up with the death of Joseph and the people in Egypt. If you don't, whoever comes in next is going to have a problem with picking up with Genesis because they're not where they're supposed to be. So hit it one more time. This is the one for the fourth quarter for the United Kingdom. So you're going to pick up first Kings 8. Give us a king. We left the nations round about us. And you're going to go through that with that. So that's basically the material for the quarters there. And then most of y'all are familiar with that. Again, the book's here. It's on the website. Okay? All right. Summarize what I've talked about a little bit. 17 periods. Again, you've heard it said, we have 16, 18, 20, 19. The number, nothing magic about it. But we break it into there, in the 17 periods. And we need to be drilling those into those young folks so they know them. What that is a great outline on which to hang those different stories over there. So someone stands in this pulpit doing a lesson and mentions Moses on Mount Nebo about to die. These young people can immediately say, run across there, oh, that's right here. They've come up through to the east side of the Dead Sea. That's where the Mount Nebo is. I know my mount material. I'm there. What's going to happen next is invasion and conquest. I can put that story right where it goes. Just hang it right in there. And it means so much more if you get that whole timeline out there in your mind. Works well with maps. I've done drills where I like to take a map and cover the 17 periods going through a map. So take a map, start over Mesopotamia Valley. And we think the Garden of Eden might have been. Talk about the first five chapters of Genesis. Then you go to the next chapters. You go up to Mount Ararat, where the ark landed. Then you come back down to the plains of Shinar for chapter 11. Then you go up to Ur, and you go up Haran, and right down through Canaan, to Shechem, and down to Egypt for the famine. And you go to the whole thing, and just use a map to work it off of there. And get these students, by the time they finish high school, they ought to be able to stand up there and do that whole narrative for you. If we've done our job as teachers to get it through there. Okay, next. Again, fixed material to cover. Don't leave the incoming teachers in trouble. Go ahead. A cycle gets more depth. The younger children can't get everything that the older ones can. So each time, you just take it, add more, and add more, and add more, and add more to it. As they go through cycle after cycle after cycle. And they'll go through it. If they start out in our classes and come all the way through, they'll go through it, four times, something like that, during the 18 years or so we have them in here. So that's it. I think there's one more. Stay on schedule and the different approaches that we talked about there with that. So, okay, I think that's about all this part that I was going to get into. What's next? Hit it again, James. That's Steve's part. Okay.
So I want to say how much I appreciate everybody being here. It's a great thing when we have this much interest in a teaching program. And one of the things I'm excited about being at Eastside, is to be with you in the efforts in this teaching program. I've been an advocate for a long time of understanding the Bible as a Bible story, as a continuum, and being able to grasp the whole so that you can pick out the points and exactly where they are in that story. And the way Wayne was describing it, I think you all understand what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to give our children is the ability to have all of that in their heads. And so when you're going to hear a lesson or you're studying a passage on your own, you know where it fits. And you understand so much more about the Bible because you have a grasp of that. None of that would be possible without your dedication to making that happen as teachers. And I know the elders here appreciate your dedication very, very much to that. And the fact that so many of you are here to seek this afternoon says an awful lot. One of the things that I think all of us realize is that there are different kinds of learners, but most learners can learn and are helped by visual things. And so we have, for a long time in Bible classes, tried to incorporate various kinds of visuals. The advent of PowerPoint projectors and the software to run them in recent years has really enhanced our ability to do that. And I don't, as a preacher, probably take your full advantage of the capabilities along that line, but they are pretty great. I want everybody to understand you don't have to be technically savvy necessary to teach the Bible. That's not necessarily a requirement, but it can be helpful. And so we have PowerPoint projectors, I believe, in most all of the classrooms. I'm not sure if the littlest ones have them, probably not, but most any place where they could be used, we have them available. And if you do not know how to use that equipment, I just really encourage you to get with, we have two or three of the deacons that's like their whole life is teaching people technology. You know, Tracy and James, they just love to show you how all of that works and get you started. And so I want to encourage you to make use of that, because what you can do in your classroom, as I'm going to maybe show you in a little bit, is when you talk about these maps and the geography, I know there's maps in books, and you have maps on the wall, but to put a map up full screen of what it is that you're trying to show a child, and then maybe also to put a picture of that from modern times to show them what that looks like, that place or whatever it is, I mean, you're just indelibly impressing upon their minds so much. And that's what we want to encourage, the use of PowerPoint to show maps, to show pictures of places, your outlines and things like that, or quotes and points as well can be, taught a lot more effectively if you'll take the time to make the PowerPoints for those. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix the walk back here and let you know about some software that we have. Scott Richardson, I believe, worked with Bob and Sandra in developing their most recent books. And I believe all of the maps in their most recent books are ones that Scott did. He has very, very graciously given us license here at Eastside to use all of those, to use that whole map set plus more electronically to use on PowerPoints in our classes. And so this software is going to be available to any teacher who wants to use it. You can use it in developing handouts, to put a map in a handout, you can use it for that, or for PowerPoint. You can, as I'll show you in just a second, there's a tool in there where you can make your own map. He has all of the maps from the books, plus a whole lot more. Plus, you can make your own map if you want to show a specific thing. It's not very hard to do. Just a pretty simple program that Scott. But he's made this available to us. All of us are free to copy the software, take it home. You can use it on your home computer to prepare or on the computers up here. Tracy is going to make it available on the website in the members area, so you can go and get it there. So it'll be, I think part of it's already up there. Some of the maps and things are already there, in fact. So you can get this at lots of venues. If you just want to go copy the folder off this computer back there onto a stick and take it home with you, that's fine. The only thing Scott requested is that we don't share it outside of the work of this congregation. Don't send it to somebody that's in another church or in Timbuktu somewhere. So he asked that we not do that. but we appreciate being able to use that. So I'm going to go back there and show you on this screen the map software. And I think it's very, very simple to get to these maps. I say that, watch me not be able to do it. Okay, so get on this. All right, so you're on the computer. Back here, it's in a folder called Richardson's Maps. And Tracy already has this up for me. But you see, in the folder Richardson's Maps, you have four more folders, Build a Map Software, Individual Maps. Maps Key to Books is what you'll want to use for the Bob and Sandra Waldron ones. So I'll click on that. And he has two kinds of maps, ones that are PDF images, ones that are PNG images. And I think one of those is a lot better for PowerPoint, and the other may be a little better for like stretching it, making it big for a poster or something. But the PNG is for printing, Tracy's telling me. So you might just want to play with those. But let me just open up. So here you have all of these maps available. Say you were teaching Exodus and you wanted a map on that, and there it is. And you can stretch that, put it in a PowerPoint, use it as a handout, whatever you want to do. Put it in a document. So there are all those maps there that are in Bob and Sandra's book. Here are some blank maps that are available. These are PDF form maps. This may take a minute to get up. So if you want blank maps, and these would be great for drilling and things like that with your students to see if they can locate, obviously, places that you've studied on a map, that sort of thing. Here's the Build a Map software, and it's for both Windows here and Mac here, so depending on what kind of computer you have, you can use this software to build your own map. And all you have to do is open that folder, click on that, and this will come up. You have the different varieties of maps. Say you wanted to make a map related to Palestine of the New Testament. Click on that. This will come up, and you can put on it basically whatever you want, customize it to what you're doing in that class. Very powerful software, good to use, and you can use it, I think, pretty easily, most all of us. All right, so that's available, as we said. It's on this computer back here. If you just want to copy this folder, Richardson Maps, or go online and get it, it's available for all of you. The second thing I want to talk to you about just a little bit is some software that's available online at this website. This is esword.net. If I could see a show of hands, how many of you have Bible software that you use on your computer to help you study? Okay. Just a few. That looks like about a third. This software is entirely free. It's absolutely free, and it's probably more powerful than some software that you could buy that might cost you hundreds and hundreds of dollars. This guy lives in Nashville, and he's kind of just made this his project to make this software available. So it's e-sword.net is the website. And you can go there, and if you clicked on download e-sword there, you see on the right, you could download this to your computer. And what it's going to do is download the basic program that'll have a Bible in it, a couple of Bibles in it actually, and a dictionary and a couple of things like that. And then once you get the basic program, I'll show you in just a minute, from it you can download unbelievable amounts of study materials, other versions of the Bible, commentaries, dictionaries, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. Let me just show you what is available. I downloaded it to this computer a couple of days ago. And this is the ESORD program. What you've got is a Bible here. You have dictionaries down here, like the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, which has great articles explaining virtually everything from scholarly standpoint in Scripture. Over on this window, you've got commentaries. Here's Matthew Henry, Gill, Clark, Barnes, Kylan Delitzsch, all sorts of commentaries, and you can get to those just by clicking, and they will sync up with whatever verse you're looking at, so you can look at that commentary. It also has the King James Version keyed to Strong's numbers. You might be familiar with those if you're used to using a Strong's concordance. And also, Strong has a dictionary down here. And once you click on one of these numbers, say if I clicked on God here, it'll bring up the definition in Strong's. I also have Joseph Henry Thayer's Greek Lexicon, and it'll bring up the definition for that word in Thayer. Very easy to use, but if you're not used to using a program like this, maybe a little overwhelming at first. If anyone wants to learn how to use it, if you want to get it and learn how to use it, you can get with me. If there are several of us, we might have a class to do that, spend an hour or two here at the building just going over various things that you can do with it. It's a very powerful program. Once you get it, you can go here to download and download additional commentaries, dictionaries, Bibles. You'll notice that I have several translations already downloaded. These are all free. American Standard Version, Contemporary English, English Standard Version, King James Version, Revised Version. Those all can be downloaded for free. If you wanted to download some that are copyrighted still and are premium, for a nominal fee, you can download like the New American Standard and the New King James Version as well, which I've done on my personal computer and have that available as well. But it's an enormously powerful program and will, I think, enrich your study and your ability to study more deeply, more quickly than probably you could ever have imagined. That's virtually a whole library of books up there. In fact, I think there are more books than I have in my library that are up there that are available just with the click of a mouse. So if you're interested in that, and I think it will really enhance your study, you know how to get that now. Do you have questions for me about any of this? Okay. As usual, I must be doing a lot better job than I think. Bill's going to cover that. Yes. e-sword.net. e-sword.net. Rod? I think the maps are there, but maybe that program isn't. Tracy, can you tell me? The maps are actually on the website? Okay. When he gets it fixed, it will. Yeah.
We purchased this copier that we've got now about a year ago. This summer would be a year ago. And at that time, we had considered it. But we got such a tremendous deal on the one we purchased. It was purchased as a used machine. It had less than 100 copies on it. It was a scratch and dent. And the fellow straightened out the little dent in 10 minutes. It's on the back panel. When this one wears out, we possibly could. I say wears out whenever the yes. That's a good idea. A color printer to hook up to a computer that would print out in color specifically for maps, etc. Just not copy hundreds of them. I'm to talk about our copy room and our other resource room. What you see on the overhead now is a copy, is our laminator. Some of the teachers are laminating some of the material so that it will last. And if we ever run out, if you use getting near the end of it, you need to tell Craig Calvert, hey, we need 8.5 by 11 laminating, or we need a little pouch laminating. He keeps those supplies for us. And one thing we want to notice is when you use it, you have to plug it in to warm it up, but then do not forget to unplug it. That will keep it from burning up. In our copy room, we have two copiers. The one on the right side of the screen is our newest, and it does really a fantastic job. The one on the left is a lot slower, but if two teachers go in there at the same time and you've got a need for 10 copies, you know, either one of those will do a good job. If one's running, then just crank up the other one. It doesn't take very long to get it going. Here is a copy of the bookshelf that's in the copy room. You can't read those titles, but there are things on there, helps for teachers. There are Bible dictionaries. There are commentaries. History and geography books, books that you may not have in your own library that you can borrow to prepare a lesson for your class. At the very bottom of that picture is a set of pulpit commentaries. Huge set. I don't know if anyone ever uses it very much preparing for classes, but it's just a tremendous amount of material for those that know how to use it. And then here's a picture of the teacher workroom that stores maps or other material for your classes in the filing cabinets, material for each of the quarters. What we would ask is that when you get the material out, that at the end of your quarter, rather than just leave it, the material in the room you were teaching, take it back, please, and put it away. And, of course, my daughter has said, just tell them to put it on a table in there, and I will organize it and put it away. She's been doing that off and on for the last few weeks. And so if you're missing anything from your classroom that you're currently using, she was trying to get things that were older from the classrooms and put them back in there. Also, there are plenty of bins that are in there if you need one to store your stuff for your quarter. And then again, just take the bin back in there with the stuff in it, and she'll put it away. Place to hang in plastic pouches some of larger material, flannel material, etc. Then there are this is basically a school supply part of the room. We've got pencils, erasers, markers, push pins, tape, glue. You see the little blue storage container, so you can put 4 or 5 different things in your that you want and take to your room and then bring back when finished. These bins are designed to hold different quarter material, or 17 periods of history material. At the very top is just an assortment of workbooks that we used to use prior to going on this program, so I'm assuming some of those are 20 years or more old. But there's, you know, if you have trouble yourself coming up with questions that cover a certain aspect, a certain quarter, then you can look through those. I haven't seen them gone through in a long time, but there are books left over that we used to use here all the time. Bulletin board material, and that's starting to repeat. Any questions? Later on at the end, we'll have an opportunity for you to make some suggestions that we can all take and use. Let's see. This way.
got two real quick slides, then Tim's going to talk about the teachers in a minute. This is the our church webpage, eastside-church.org. And what I want to show you here is on the left-hand side near the top, there's a thing that says the foundation class, where that arrow is pointing to. If you click on that, there's a recording out there and PowerPoint slides for most of them of every class all the way through the three-year cycle. So all the foundation classes have been recorded at one time or another. Some of them are several years old, but still the same material. Been recorded and put out here. So if you need a look at a lesson that you might be teaching, and we'll see how somebody else taught it or what materials they had or something, you go to this, and like I said, it goes all the way from the first to the end of it on the website out there. All that's been recorded and put out there. So the entire program is out there for that. And click it one time, James. And then this question, this is more of a question type thing. It kind of touches on what Bill's talking about with the material. We do have a repetitive three-year cycle with the children's classes. So need for lesson plans, sharing, material, handouts, slides. Are you willing to take what you've got and share it? Bill's talking about Brittany will do a lot of filing for us on it. We find it's helpful how to organize it. Maybe Brittany's already got a lot of it done that I wasn't even maybe aware of. I knew she worked on it, but I didn't know where it was there. But this just kind of gets you thinking about it. I've taught Genesis in the foundation high school class probably three or four times. I've got a two-piece notebook with all my stuff in it, my PowerPoints, my handouts, my teacher stuff, my supplemental material, and whoever I taught with, I got their stuff stuck in there. So if you want Genesis, I got a notebook I can hand you for Genesis. It just covers the whole thing. Well, I'm sure somebody of you have got out their books on every other session we taught. So if I'm going to teach something else, I might get my hands on what you've done. Just look at, go through there. So if you've got stuff you want to share and are willing to share, let's talk about it sometime and think about what you might want to do. I want to get that all together and work on it. This is a think about it type slide here for a while. Okay. Tim? He's going to work in the back, I think. He's got to run the computer while he does, so.
All right. First of all, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you who are so willing to teach. Everybody said when I took on this is the worst the worst job you can have up here. But honestly, it's been okay. It hasn't been a burden or anything. But what I wanted to show you is I keep a spreadsheet, and I look over this and quite frequently, and I try to give everyone as much of a break as we can between quarters and spread out the load amongst everybody. As you can see on the chart, it's a little small print. It wasn't designed for a PowerPoint presentation, but the next openings are in the fall quarter. So, and most of them are already filled. There's really only two that are not filled, and that's a couple of slots in the ladies' class and the foundations class. I try to keep us ahead by two quarters is my goal, and so that we don't run into. I know things will happen, things, health issues come up and different things, and we can always adjust as those things arise. But scheduling out in advance is really a help. There's really one objective that the elders asked me to make, and that is on this slide. It's a very small print. I'm sorry, but as you'll see here, I'll take the very first line here. It happens to be Scott Abernathy, just the poor soul. All right. As you notice, if you see the yellow, if you see the dark spot here. Note, this is about 3 years worth of data. This was 2010, 2011, 2012 into 13. So about 3 years worth of data here. As you can see, for the most part, folks, as you look here, you can see them teaching one time each year. Okay? Especially in this column, one time per year. As you scoot over into 2011, you're going to see a whole lot of two times teaching per year. Okay? Now, what that means is, is our rotation has shrunk, the time frame between teaching. It used to be, historically, we've been able to teach one time a year per quarter and spread the load out, you know, very well. As you can see, in this current year, that's not so much the case. There are an awful lot of folks teaching back-to-back quarters even. I don't ask anyone to do that necessarily. Sometimes it becomes a real easy thing because the material is already prepared. For example, some folks teach the foundation class. They've already done the material. It's already prepared. And then they just roll over the next quarter and teach, you know, one of the high school, college, or, you know, whatever classes. But really the whole point of this is to say, about the best I can do for most of us is to give us two quarters in between teaching. Until we get more teachers on board, that's kind of what we're looking at. But I'm trying to spread everyone out to give everyone those breaks. And another thing, I want everyone to realize that I'm totally flexible with this. One of the things that I'm actually going to be doing, and I've already talked a little bit to some individuals, for people who want to get involved teaching but are not comfortable with teaching, a full quarter, you know, and taking on the commitment of being one of two teachers, you know, in a class, I'm completely flexible with working, you know, a third teacher into that rotation. I've got Ginger has already agreed to do that. So she's going to work into the rotation of two teachers, and as individuals get comfortable and seeing, all right, I see the flow, I see how this is going, I think I can do one of these. and go ahead and work into a rotation there. And I'm going to be working with some of our young folks. There's older folks who've never taught, and I'm completely willing to do that as well and work you into a rotation with, you know, one of the, you know, 6th through 8th grade classes, high school or something like that, even if you want to. So, but again, I just want to say thank you very much for teaching. Yes. Could be, and totally. If they're willing to do that, that would be, you know, fantastic. I'm going to talk to Brian Simmons. He's already agreed to. I'm going to work in a couple of the really college guys. They're already in college, and kind of work them into that if they want to, and see how that goes. We're pulling in a few more teachers from that age range. You know, we've got some, but the thing about college, you know, they're, who knows where they're going to be. You know, they're going to, you know, they may be going off to college or, you know, heading to the Four Corners, you know, wherever they end up. But honestly, even those coming in, if they come in and say they teach the junior high type class, you know, the 5th through the 8th grade class, the real scheduling challenge is for the older classes. there's a whole lot who will teach the younger. I'm talking about the guys right now because as far as the women's classes, really okay. Aside from one single class, which is always, I think, a challenge. the children's classes for the girls, there's a lot of ladies teaching. It's not as many men. I mean, if you look at, scroll down to that list there, James. For the men, I think there's about 30 at the most. Yeah, about 30. Click on the next tab at the bottom, the next sheet, and it's women. And I think there's about 50. Yeah. Yeah, scroll down. Yeah, there's over 50. 60. So we've got almost twice as many women teaching as men right now. So that is an issue for the men classes. We don't have as many men or men required classes as we do women, so that kind of helps even it out. But that's the situation we're dealing with right now. The point I was going to say is, you know, teaching, getting teachers for the adult classes, the mixed adult, the foundations. There's a lot of people who are willing to do that, but by the time I fill in those with the teachers who are willing to do that, you know, you don't get opportunities necessarily to teach some of the younger ones. So, but I try to scoot everybody where they like teaching. Any questions? Other questions? All right.
This is unscheduled. Bill's next on the little outline we had here, but pick up on something, Tim, and say, Craig, where'd you go? Where'd Craig go? All right, we'll pick on you in a minute, okay? Many, many years ago, when Craig was much younger, and Mike Ogles was much younger, we had classes in this upstairs, these classrooms up here. You know what I'm talking about now, don't you? I had been teaching a little longer. I'm a little over these guys. And I took Mike and Craig with me up here in the class. And I would tell them, okay, you take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you can. Go through the questions, cover the amount of material. One of you do this, one do this. And whatever time's left, I'll fill in. Remember that? Something like that? Yeah. And that's kind of how these guys got broken in teaching. And that's a lot of what Tim's talking about here and what Mike kind of mentioned. May have some of these young folks or maybe some older folks that haven't taught, that don't feel comfortable doing even one class period. That's all right. Those of us who have been around a while, take one of these people in there and say, okay, you start off and you go as far as you can, and when you run out of material, I'll fill in the rest of it. Are you going there and look, what you just take enough to cover, just go through these questions I've got here and get them to talk to you and give the answers. Or go through and cover this, and then I'll take the rest of the class. And it gets them used to doing something. It worked, I think, well back then, and I think it'll work now if somebody's going to try something like that. That's kind of what Tim was talking about with this mother, daughter, father, son type thing there. Craig's my other son. Nobody knew about that, but okay.
He shared with you that. I thought of something very, very similar. We had a college class, and I was trying to encourage some of those young college guys to teach class, and three of them did. They would take one, two, or three lessons and get their feet wet, so to speak, and I think they all did a very, very good job. And when Wayne was mentioning about taking those youngers, I can remember taking a young man that had played basketball for me. His name was Tony Hudson, and we taught a fourth through sixth grade class and then junior high class, and he was so much closer to those kids' age, they would listen to him more than they would with me. And this was like in the 80s, back there in the middle, late 80s. And look where Tony's at today, you know, preaching. So, a little experience here, a little experience there. The thing says, suggestions or comments first. Do you have any for us? Like to share with us? Yes.
When Steve was talking just a second ago, one of the things I wanted to say, I'm having to squint my eyes to read as well, but the maps that he's talking about will show up in the bottom right corner of that 6x6 or 6x3 chart, as well as a link to the eSword that Steve was talking about. We'll put both of those links there and probably also put a link to foundation material there as well. So try to get anything else. If anybody has other material they would like for me, because if we can get where at least electronic material that's good for teachers, if you've got it, I will add it to that bottom left corner, or the bottom right corner. My dyslexia keeps kicking in. The bottom right corner over there, so that if there's good material out there, let me know about it. I'll put it up right there to where it can be found by anybody who's looking for it. So, but that is where the maps and the Bible software will go.
Make it easy access for all of us from your home, your study, or wherever you happen to be working on your material. Any other comments, suggestions? One, we are planning a teacher work day, not teacher, a work day here, period, on the first Saturday in June. I believe that's the second. A lot of just every few years you need to come in and clean out and straighten up and repair and do things. If you know of anything that needs to be fixed in your classroom, something you need put up, please let us know. And if any of you, I say women, especially women, because the majority of the teacher material that's in that teacher workroom is for the children's classes. If you would like to help work on that, just see us, let us know. Tim? Good idea. Make it a hands-on workshop. What's that old proverb? Tell me I forget. Show me I learn in... No. Show me I may remember. Involve me and I understand. I learn. So, hands-on workshops are excellent for that. Anything else? Craig can give you a class on the copier. And if he's not available, if you're up here and Steve's in his office, Steve knows quite a bit about it also. Yes. Okay, good suggestion. We do that in schools. Colleges do it. Basically, it would be for self-improvement. A teacher would need to know what the feedback is. Any others? Grady, are you supposed to close? Oh. Freddie, Albert, or Ralph, any additional comments y'all would like to add?
Almost every service, before we close, we say something to the effect that to encourage someone to obey the gospel. Well, we do that because we never know when the last time we'll see that person might be. You know, the same thing goes for you teaching these children. You never know when the last time you'll have to teach a child. Keep that in mind, and maybe that'll help you do your very best at teaching that particular class. Involve them to the point that they want to learn. And sometimes that's difficult with some students. Some of them had rather do that on the back row if you'll let them. And yet, there's a certain time in life when everyone in the class, have you noticed that? That happens, and what makes that cutoff? Because from one year to the next, it's almost like, and it happens, boys and girls alike. Well, what do we do as a teacher to involve them to the point that they want to learn? You're going to have students that are slow learners. There are some out there, and we have some here. That's not unusual. They're in the schools everywhere. They just can't learn fast. But we've got some here and at schools that, boy, they got it in an instant. Okay? That gives you the challenge of how you're going to teach those who are slow along with those who are fast. Okay, you got to be able to pick that out as a teacher. I know that's saying a whole lot to somebody who's not had any teaching experience, maybe. But the thing is, if you'll just use the quick learners to challenge the slower ones, use their peers. We talked about that a little bit already. And it can work really good. You know, in school, one of the things that I wanted to get across to the students, sometimes I couldn't. And I'd have some students that would look over to the other guy, see what he had. Okay, that's okay. He's learning. Now, maybe not on a test to do that, but you know, He could learn in some fashion from his peers. And sometimes we as teachers need to capitalize on using other students to benefit others. So, anyway, I won't charge any extra for that. Albert, you got anything? Ralph, you got anything? Okay. We thank you for coming, and hope you got a little something out of it. And we're open for suggestions anytime. If you want to talk to us about things, please feel free to do that. And appreciate so much your teaching in the church here at Eastside. It means a lot. And take every opportunity you have to teach God's Word. Thank you for coming. Let's end with a prayer, if you would. Our Holy Father, we are so thankful for this congregation and for those who are members here that want to teach and spread your word, and we're thankful for their ability to teach your word to the children here and to adults. And we pray, Father, we'll always take it as serious, that we will work at our very best to teach those among us, and we pray that we'll always try to do your will and be good examples as we stand before our students and others to that they can look to us and help learn how to live and how to do. And we know, Father, that you're there to help us. And we pray that we'll study your word to the point that we feel that we can relay it to others in a way that they can understand, so they, in the times ahead, will be able to teach others as well. Be with us as we separate. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.